I'll do this quickly. I do have a word from the Lord, though, and I want to pray for all of you. So I want to deliver this. Turn in your Bibles quickly to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Whoa! Whoa! Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're enabling us to do for you in this hour, that your name would be glorified and that the kingdom would come and that your will would be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the ambassadorial anointing that is on each and every person here that is in you. I pray, Lord God, that in their fields of service, Lord God, that you would empower them more than ever before to do your will and to perform your purposes in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 25. It says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the heaven then, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.' This expression, 'yet once more,' denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." We are living in an hour where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Hallelujah! I just say, let it all shake. You know, if there's anything in my life that can be shaken, then just let it shake. If there's anything in my city that I live in that can shake down, let it shake. If there's anything in the economy that can be shaken, then let it shake. But everything that is based in the kingdom of God, everything that is established in him, every part of us that is secured in him, everything that we put our hand to that is in him cannot and will not be shaken, but it will remain. And God is raising up a people and establishing us as a people who will not be shaken. Hallelujah. So I want to share a little bit about the day that we're living in, a little bit of prophetic insight as to what is coming and how to prepare for it. I believe that we are living in the best of times and the worst of times. In Isaiah 60, it says that we are to arise and shine because our light has come. Light is illumination. And in that Hebrew word, light there, I understand it to mean illumination that actually comes from fire. And so a fire is coming to the body of Christ where God is going to burn up the chaff, and when it's all burned up, his spirit in us will be the reflection or the illumination. He said, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," but then he said to us, "You are the light of the world." So we are to arise and shine because our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. And Joshua this morning so beautifully spoke about how God pours out his spirit on all flesh, on all mankind. His spirit is being poured out upon all. And his glory is going to be reflected through the church. In fact, the Holy Ghost in you is going to come out of your belly like a river of living water, and it's going to be spilled out to your sphere of influence. You just have to open up that door and let the King of Glory flow out through you. Arise and shine because your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It says, "Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the peoples, but the glory shall appear upon you." Shall appear upon you. The glory is the fullness of all God is, and all that he has is the weight of those things as they come into manifestation. And all of that is available to all of you and to manifest within your sphere of influence. So we see in that particular portion that we've got the best of times. I mean, what could be better than the body of Christ rising up in the fullness of all Christ has for them? What could be better than the body of Christ operating in the fullness of divine kingdom power, doing the works that Jesus did and even greater works, the things that has not even entered our heart yet, what God will do through those who love him? What could be better than us coming into that place of such brilliant glory that we're in his presence in such weightiness that is actually appearing upon us nonstop and continuously? What could be better than that? And I prophesy that for those who are committed to the Lord, who will draw close to him and believe those covenant promises, that that is your portion. That is your portion. But it's also the worst of times because deep darkness is covering the earth and gross darkness the people, which means we are in a time of pernicious evil in the same dimension as God is pouring out his spirit. There is a counterfeit uprising of pernicious evil, perversion, and darkness that is going to cover the face of the earth. Praise God, light overpowers darkness. Praise God. But woe to us if there is no light. God is looking for those who will be so set apart for him in this hour that we will be able to literally invade the darkness with the light. The light will overpower the darkness. That's why when I look at the whole sex trade thing, if you look at it on its own, it's an overwhelming situation. If you only looked at the sex trade for what it was, you get overwhelmed, think, what can we do about it? It's too big. It's all over the world. It's like a virus. It's on the internet. It's in every nation. What could we possibly do? What could my little effort do? But when you know the power of God and the power of his light on the inside of you and what he's capable of doing through a yielded vessel, then you've got all the hope in the universe because he is going to conquer the darkness through his church. I've read the end of the book. At the same time, we have to be balanced because we can't be like the proverbial ostrich who stuck its head in the sand and didn't even know what was going on around it. We need to understand the warnings of Jesus Christ when he said that in the last days, lawlessness will increase. Saying that there will be a time of tribulation that is so great, so devastating that there's never been a time like it in all the history of man. Do you know what produces that kind of effect in the earth? Sin. You'll never find that kind of tribulation in a holy environment. It only accompanies sin. It wasn't in the Garden of Eden, and it's not in heaven. It is only where you find sin. And because lawlessness and hardness of heart is going to abound and increase, there will be tribulation such as mankind has never seen. Now, I know that many teach that the church will never know that hour because we're going to escape. We're going to be beamed up. And I guess that's a possibility. But I tell you, I've made my decision. I'm going to live the same. Whether I get taken up in some kind of a rapture before that tribulation or whether I walk through it, my commitment's going to be the same. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to talk with God. I'm going to align myself with God. I'm going to get myself filled with light and spread that light because in a time of great darkness, in a time of great tribulation, God needs someone to shine. Sounds like a harvest time. Sounds like a great time to manifest the power of God. Sounds like a great time for an Elijah company to rise up where we see the confrontation of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and we can call down fire from heaven and swallow up all the darkness. It sounds like fun. And God is preparing a company of revivalists who carry the power of His righteousness, of His glory, of the fire, of the fear of the Lord in them. That's going to be so outrageously outstanding that when they walk into a place, everyone will cry out for mercy. And we can develop that level of anointing. It is available. There's a mantle. A mantle for revival in this hour that is being offered to the church and to anyone who will pick it up and say, Jesus, I'll take that dimension of who you are and I will fill myself with the fullness of the fear of the Lord, of what you give and of your power and your might, that I might confront darkness and sin by the glory of God, by the power of your Spirit, and see you glorified in this hour. It's available to anyone in this room. It's available to everyone in this room. God's not a respecter of persons, the Bible says. We just have to posture ourselves for it. How many of you want to live as covenant men and women of God, full of the blessing of God, full of the provision of God, full of the outrageous love of God, full of confrontational power by the Spirit? I'm not talking about that nasty legalistic stuff. I'm not talking about judgment that's not in love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a confrontation that you carry just by being sweet little old you. How many of you would like to have that? See, you have a covenant of blessing with God right now. When Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, He cut a covenant between God and man that has given you everything that pertains to life and to godliness. There are going to be treacherous times. Paul described it in his letter to Timothy that there was going to be rebellion, a hardened people, a lawless people, a religious people holding to forms of godliness and denying the power. He said the last days will be treacherous days. There'll be selfishness and pride and all that stuff. But in the midst of that treachery, there will be a standard of righteousness raised up. There will be a people. There will be the Daniels. There will be those who do not bow their knee to Baal. There will be those who will not bow themselves to sin. There will be those that keep their heart pure and who operate in the fullness of the covenant blessing. Elijah, a prophet of God, worked miracles, signs, and wonders. Gloriously and accurately prophetic. Walked with God. Lived in a time of great famine, but he never experienced famine. Lived in a time of economic problems, but he never suffered. God sent ravens to bring him food. Ravens are the unclean birds. In a time of hardship, if you're a consecrated vessel unto the Lord and you don't bow your knee to another, you'll be surprised at who God sends to you with food. There will be a people who do not bow their knee. In Elijah's day, he lived in a day of great compromise. Ahab was God's appointed king. Just because God anoints someone and appoints someone doesn't mean they're going to walk with him. All the kings of Israel were appointed by God and anointed by God. Some were good and some were evil. It depends on your own choice what you do with what God gives you. And if man fails, don't go blaming God for it. It's not his fault. He only gives good gifts. He only gives good opportunities. He only gives good invitations. If a man fails, it's because he loved sin. He had a love for sin over his love for God. And beloved, I have to say that in this treacherous hour, beware that you love nothing more than the Lord your God. And God sees everything done in secret. He sees everything. He knows every thought. And so you might be able to keep things hidden from people for a while, although eventually it always gets put into the open. That's just principle of the kingdom. It'll always come into the light. But in the meantime, God sees it all. He sees every little thought, every little action, every little thing done in secret. And if those things are good, there's a great reward. He rewards the things done in secret. There's a consequence for the things done in secret, for good or for evil. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow into, you'll reap from. And if you sow into the Spirit, you're going to reap blessings from the Spirit of God. But if you sow to the carnal flesh, if you sow into sin nature, then you're going to reap corruption for yourself and for everyone around you. And your sin is not just about you. It doesn't hurt just you. It hurts, it ripples out and hurts everyone, not even just in this life, but in the generation line that follows you. I just sing this because I want us to hate this stuff. I want us to hate this sin. I hate sin. I hate it. I've seen it destroy lives, destroy nations, destroy cities, destroy moves of God. Do you know that Rome was destroyed? It was at the peak of it. It's just doing so good as far as political power goes. What took it down? Sin, perversion took it down. Whole nations can come down because of sin. Nations that are serving false idols today, that sin of idolatry has them in poverty. It just doesn't pay. Sin, we got to hate sin. I want to give myself to raise up a company of people that hate it with passion. You know? And that doesn't have to be all heavy. That could be exciting. I'd like to get that Jason Westerfield jump. Yeah, I hate sin. Yeah, there's a company, we hate sin. Woo, yeah, you know. Do you know that that's scriptural? Instead of Jesus in Psalms, it says that he was anointed with the oil of joy above all of his fellows because he hated sin. He hated wickedness. I tell you, this people, this company that God's going to raise up as sin haters, they're going to love the people, but they're going to be like, rawr, rawr, I see sin, rawr, yeah. I'm a sin hater, and I love tearing this stuff up. Rawr. Sex trade, ha, we'll take care of it. Rawr. Drug addiction, ugh, let's go after it. Come on, we hate it. And our violence, it says the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by that violence is violent love. How's this gonna look? We're gonna hate sin but be violent lovers at the same time. I love you so much, I'm gonna rip that sin right out of you. Woo! Come on, just let me out that pimple. I'll squeeze the pus out right now. Come on, I love it. Woo-hoo, woo! I tell you, our God is going to raise up a company of revivalists in this hour that are going to be so passionate for righteousness, that are going to be so passionate for the glory of his holiness, that are going to hate sin with such fervency that when they walk into a room, if there's a sinner in the midst, it says, mercy, mercy. How fun is that? See them come running to the front, wailing, say, yeah, I'll make my day. Because you know that when a person gets that place of deep acknowledgement of sin, that God of mercy and love and goodness is right there. He loves it. It says in the Bible, he loves a broken and a contrite heart. He pours out the oil of joy on those who love wickedness. And I'm not talking about some little list of rules. It says, you will be holy if you wear a doily on your head or something. You know, if you like doilies, that's great. I'm not saying anything about that fashion statement. I like people to be creative in their dress, and it doesn't mind me with different, you know, churches having, you know, things that they like people to wear or whatever. I mean, each to their own. But just don't say that's what equals holiness. Don't say that this behavior will equal holiness and this behavior doesn't equal holiness. Because what I see in my spirit is the spirit of holiness, the spirit of conviction, the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of the fear of the Lord is going to come. And by the spirit, we will hate sin. By the spirit. And when we even try to think a sinful thought, the fire will come to it. Sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. Come on. We can have this. Do you want this or are you afraid of it? Come on. I like what Jason shared last night. He says, all you've got to do is just lay yourself out. Just lay yourself out and let all your just self spill out before the Lord. Oh God, I give you myself. I give you myself. I give you everything in me. I give you all that I am and all that I have. I give it all. Love it. And there we all are, just emptied out. I love the way he showed that picture. And up you get. Let's suck him in. Just breathe him in. Just get all filled with him. And we get so filled with him, so filled with his righteousness, so filled with his holy fire, so filled with his bounty, that when we go out, we just like blow up cities with the glory. Just imagine what your community is going to look like when you go into your community, walking into the grocery store, and all of a sudden it turns into a revival center. People are pushing their little buggies along, filling their buggies up with groceries, and all of a sudden, I got to repent. I've got to, oh God, have mercy. Right now, we go into malls on our evangelism outreaches. We go into malls and we look for people. We go in the stealth mode because we don't want to get kicked out. And so we just kind of go in and say, oh, person in a wheelchair. Ah, let's go see if they want some prayer. We go pray, get them healed, you know. And they're all excited. We have to say, well, you know, not too loud because we don't need a crowd in here. The supervisors are going to come and kick us out, you know. Got to be careful. But in the day of revival, who can resist you? In the day of revival, come on, just think about what this might look like. What if you and 11 other people who are filled with the holy fire conviction of God, just like the Charles Finney revival, so much conviction when he walked into a room, the whole place repented, cried out. In fact, he would say to them in meetings, they get so convicted, he said, I want to get saved. He said, no, you're not ready yet. Just stay in the anxious section a little bit longer. You got to really want to be saved. Sometimes they'd stay in the anxious section night after night after night. And then he'd let them get saved. I don't understand that. I wasn't there. But what will it look like in the malls when you and 11 other righteous people, you know, a little company of 12, there you go, Melissa, you just get it. And you get, you know, you spend, you know, your soaking time. It's not just any ordinary carpet time anymore. No, no, no. It's the fervent revival, righteous fear of the Lord power from heaven. It's no longer saying, oh, bless me with your glory, oh God, let your presence come. It's like, fire, Lord, fill me with fire. Make me a flame of fire. Make me a minister of fire. Fill me with the fear of the Lord. I'll repent 1,000 times if I have to over even one sin in order to get this fire of conviction. Convict me of every little single thought. Convict me of every single little thought. Convict me of every single little action. I want to walk in mighty conviction. I love it. I love it. Convict me more. Convict me more. Come on, God, convict me more. I'm not convicted enough. I'm so hungry for conviction. I want more. I'm so hungry for repentance. I want to repent more. What can I repent from today? And we're going to love this stuff so much that when we have our soaking time, it's going to be, woo, fire! And it won't just be a statement anymore. It won't just be a little revival word anymore. It'll be the substance of the fire of glory. And then you say, okay, gang, let's get into the van. We're on our way to the shopping mall. And all of a sudden that van, it becomes a fire truck. A fire truck. In fact, what would really be fun, I'm just making this up as I go, I'm a visionary, I'm kind of having fun right now. What would be really fun is you stop and have a fire drill. You stop at a light and go, okay, firemen, out you get. You run around the van and the whole intersection goes crazy with the conviction of Jesus. Horns are honking. The horns are honking. They say, help me! I gotta get saved! And they're running out on the street trying to grab hold of the fire company. Woo! Yeah! Whoa! Whoa! Fire company! And we're not even at the mall. In fact, on the way to the mall, what we usually like to do is stop for some coffee. So now the fire company gets out of the van and into the coffee shop. Name your coffee shop. So we get out, we go into the coffee shop, and fire, 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 fire comes into the coffee shop. You're just on your way to your assignment. But on the way, you get the whole place convicted. All the workers behind the counters are on the floor now, crying out to God to be saved. And all the customers are grabbing hold of you and say, please lead me to Jesus. Come on. Woo! And while you're there, you heal the sick, you cast out the devils. And if anyone dies, raise them from the dead. Woohoo! All these dark days are fun. Hey! Whoa! Haba Shanehe! Woo! And then we head out to the mall. We're God's fiery love squad. We're looking for some sick. We're looking for some demonized. We're looking for some sinners. We're God's fiery conviction blessing company. Every place where the sole of our foot treads, ah, it's ours. Let's go. Oh, and the whole mall is, ah, mercy, God, mercy. And the supervisors try to kick you out, but it's impossible. Because when they go and try to, ah, mercy on me. That's Bible. That's what happened to Peter in the prison. No, Paul and Silas, I think it was. And the prison keeper said, ah, I want to kill myself. I'm supposed to look after this, and it's all a mess. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your house. The owner of the shopping mall comes in because he hears this big problem in his mall. Comes and says, what's going on here? Ah, mercy, mercy, mercy. After he gets saved, he says, by the way, you know what? I think I'll give you this mall. The wealth of the wicked shall be transferred to the just. Notice this. It says the wealth of the wicked will be transferred to the righteous. Not sinners in the church. You know why? Because God can trust someone who's altogether righteous. Because you emptied yourself out of yourself. It's just not about greed. It's not about mammon. It's not about you. It's not about what you can do with your money and get all, you know, hogwashed out on whatever. The righteous aren't like that. The righteous are like, oh, God, you're awesome. I got so much. I don't know what to do with it. How many orphanages can we build? How many people can we buy out of the sex trade? What? Just show us what we're going to do with this. Whoa! Hey! Whoa! God's raising up a company of revivalists! Fire! A fire company of Holy Ghost revivalists are going to be raised up. I tell you, I'm so mad about sin right now that I've got this anger thing happening on the inside of me that it's just too much fun. It's too much fun. I'm dreaming of ways to pull sin down. I'm dreaming of ways that I can chop the head of sin down in the body of Christ and make the church love righteousness and hate sin. What an assignment. I'll take that scroll, God. I'll take that as my next assignment. This sounds like a fun one. Let's see what kind of controversy this one will stir. We will have a revival of righteousness. God will have an Elijah company. He will have a Daniel company. He will, he will, he will. Woo! We're gonna rescue the sinner. We're gonna rescue the sinner because we're hate sin. Woohoo! Well, look at our friends, eh? I'm pretty sure I detect a little bit of sin there. Come on. Let me at it. Rah! That was fun. How are you feeling now? We just have to get an attitude. We're going to develop the right attitude about sin. It's an attitude of hate. Yeah, those Christians are full of hate. Hate, hate, hate. We're going to be like David. And he says, I hate with a perfect hatred. It's a holy hatred. It's a hate of those. I hate rape. I hate sex trade. I hate drug trade. I hate it with a perfect hatred. But oh, I love the sinner. We're going to go after them. We're going to bring them into the ark. We're going to bring them into safety. And we're not going to lay down our weapon of prayer until the whole wide world comes out of darkness into the light. We're going to invade with the fire and the light of His glory like never before. We have an opportunity at this time in church history to be the first company of its kind. A media revival has broken out. First in the history of man. Media revival hit all the nations. What's it going to look like? When the revival of the fire company, when the conviction of the Spirit goes out over those broadcast waves. What's it going to be like then when the spirit of conviction is inside of Muslim nations and Hindu nations and inside of the computers of those in the far north or whatever? And everyone's repenting. And the little ticker tape that goes along the bottom says, ah! I screamed at a fever pitch level. And the next one says, ah! I screamed even higher than that. I'm free from my sin. I'm free from my sin. Because when I cried out for mercy, God came in. Woo! Whoa! Oh, this is too good. This is too much fun. This sounds like a movement. This sounds like a movement. It's a movement. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. I like this movement. Anyone here want to lead it? Yeah! Woo! You know what it means? You can't sin. Not in this movement. In this movement, you can't sin. You try to lead this one. And sin, and oh my gosh, trouble. Is there anyone here that wants to lead the movement and remain pure all the days of your life? God, look at this. Look at your children, Lord. They want to lead the movement. They want to lead the movement. God, look at your children. They said that they would remain pure all the days of their life. Look at them. Here they are, God. Choose them all. Choose them all. Shoo. 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 I like reading books about the holiness revivals. But I'd rather have one. That's all I have to say. Jesus! Wow. Wow. This is a lot of fun. This hating wickedness stuff, it is the most fun, isn't it? Yeah, I'm of that new movement. We're the hate sin movement. We're the annihilators of it. You got any? Huh? I love it, I love it, I love it. Why didn't we think of this before? Dream big. We could take nation after nation after nation with this. Just pick your nation and just go for it. We're going to soak in the fire until we become a flame. We're going to soak in the conviction until we're just nothing but essence of conviction of the Holy Ghost comes from us. We're going to soak in the love of God until we just flood nations with love. And when there's sins disclosed and uncovered, we don't point a finger at them and say, you nasty person. We say, you're being loved right now. Ha, 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 ha. We love this stuff. Get rid of that wickedness. You get the difference? You get the difference? Okay. What we're going to do is... Ooh. Oh, I got this right in here. I'm so glad I got angry. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to get angry over sin. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to form two lines.